the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739. Read from Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east? called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbour, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed, and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, And he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counsellor, but when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Oh Lord, we desire grace to fall humbly at thy footstool. Wilt thou soften our hard hearts, show us our true sense of and bring us there as suppliants, begging, Lord, that thou wilt show mercy upon us, that thou wilt not look upon our iniquities, that they have all been cast into the depths of the sea of thy love, through the great work of redemption of thy dear Son. O Lord, we would come and bow the knee before not worthy of the least of thy mercies, but to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and it is life, eternal life, that is our cry, that thou wilt remember us for a never-ending eternity, the day of our death, the day when we must stand before thy judgment seat. Draws very near, but oh, prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we lift our heads with joy among the sons of God. All else pales into insignificance compared to this one great request, that we may be found in Christ, saved with an everlasting salvation, among that number who are redeemed, that number whom thou hast chosen unto life from before the world began. And so, Lord, we pray, draw us by the bands of thy love, to enable us to open our hearts to thee, that thou wilt have mercy upon us and not cast us away, that thou wilt show forth thy great salvation, that thou wilt show that thou hast remembered even each one of us, each one in his or her own case. Lord, we have to come with much to confess before thee. How our hearts are so often far off from God, cold and dead. How we do not feel the life of the Spirit within. But return, we beg of thee. Awaken, enliven our hearts. And do grant that the dear Holy Spirit may lead us on to Jesus as our hiding place. Oh, may that dear Holy Spirit teach us by the way. Show us ourselves. Show us where we are wrong. Give us a true spirit of confession, of supplication, of true repentance before a holy, heart-searching God. Lord, if thou do not have mercy, there is no hope for us. Oh, then do keep us on praying ground. Keep us begging, trusting, cleaving. Thou alone art all our hope. Thou alone art our only help. Arise, O Lord, and come into our hearts, we pray. Leave us not to go the way of this world. We pray that thou wilt remember the needs of each one that has come into the sanctuary tonight. Those who have come up begging, that thou, if thou would only but speak, say that I am thy God and will still give thee aid. Lord, to speak to those who feel to be out of the secret and whose cry so often is, am I his or am I not? Oh, do confirm them, Lord, in the faith, with signs following, if it please thee, those great things done to prove that thou art with them and will never leave them nor forsake them. And we pray for those who have come up seeking a word of direction, not knowing the way, feeling to be in darkness. Lord, guide them by thy Spirit. And may it be this night that there is something done in their hearts to enable them to continue, to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, those that are brought very low by affliction and sorrow, who feel thy heavy hand upon and wonder where the scene will end, will they prove to be castaways at the last? Lord, is it not in thy tender love that thou dost lay thy afflicting hand upon them? And wilt thou cause them to see that it is thy work, and that thou hast purposes of love and mercy even toward them? But in measure thou wilt correct, but in love. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Oh, do enable us to bear each one before thee, Lord, in this way. We pray for our dear young friends, that thou wilt remember them in their youth and cause them to seek thee early, if haply they may be finders, that they may find that pearl of great price and never let it go, to find that Jesus Christ is there all and in all, that he has done all things for them to give them eternal life. And Lord, we pray for our dear elderly friends also, and especially those who cannot be here tonight. We remember them tenderly before thee. Visit them, Lord, and may thy Spirit guide them into all truth and prepare them for that great day when they must exchange mortality for immortality. Lord, we each have to come there. And oh, may it be the cry of each one of us and the anxious inquiry, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, to be found sheltering under the blood, to know that Jesus Christ has suffered in our place. Oh, to impart that witness to our souls that we are under the blood. Lord, we ask for thy blessing here in this house of, that thou wilt remember souls, that thou wilt build us up in spiritual blessings. O Lord, and that thy work may appear, that all may flow to the glory of thy holy name. O Lord, there is much sin mixed with all, but do pardon and forgive. Oh, that it might be covered with the mantle of thy righteousness. We ask that thou wilt help our brother as he reads to us this evening, and that the words spoken before may prove to be still alive by the power of the Holy Ghost and work in our hearts, that it may do good, that it may raise us to a hope, that it may raise us to a hope that thou art working and hast not forsaken us utterly, though we have sorely grieved thee. And Lord, we pray that there may be those answers that may be fastened in hearts by the dear Holy Ghost. Oh, to enable us then to beg of thee that the word may be with power, with that divine unction of the Holy One, that there may be a savour of Jesus Christ, and that our hearts may be turned to worship thee truly. We remember thy servant who could not be here today through his deep affliction, and we pray that thou wilt be with him this evening, that thy Spirit may be present there and bless him in his own soul. And whether he can gather in the sanctuary or not, we know not. But, O Lord, do bless his soul. Remember him for good. Strengthen him in body, if thy holy will, and raise him up once more to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, we would also pray for others of thy servants who are laid low, that it may please thee, Lord, to remember their souls. Bless them where they are, those who labour in weakness, that thou wilt strengthen them, especially in the things of the Spirit, and make the word profitable, and do strengthen them in body, according to thy holy will. O Lord, thou knowest, we are brought very low in the churches. And Lord, we look on all the empty pews here, and we realise that the cause of God and truth is at a very low ebb in our land. But it is not beyond thy might and thy power. Do enable us to believe that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Oh, grant us faith, Lord, that thou art able to do these things in the outward way, and that thou art able to do them in our own hearts, to work those impossibilities, to give us grace, to give us a hope raised up that we shall live and sit with thee to a never-ending eternity, to give us that confirmation that all our sins were taken away when thou didst suffer, bleed and die at Calvary and rise again. Oh, to know that we are in the secret. Oh, do keep us, Lord, pressing, if we might know the answer to this great question, if I am his or if I am not. Oh, Lord, do remember, we pray thee, our nation as a whole, our leaders lack wisdom. O Lord, but wilt thou put in their hearts some new life, a turning again? Lord, wilt thou grant them wisdom, even when they know not what they do, for the sake of thy little remnant, in our land. And now we desire to thank thee for many mercies, for we can say, hitherto hast thou helped us, though we have requited thee evil for good, and we would remember all thy kindnesses, and the times, Lord, when we have seen crooked things made straight and rough places made plain, when thy name has been made very precious in our souls. But now, Lord, do come, do it again. There is much that remains to be accomplished. Do it ere we go hence, if thy holy will. Turn our captivity, revive us again. Put a new song into our mouth, even praise unto our God. And so we bow before thee, Lord, not worthy of these things, a heart of sin and unbelief. Arise, arise, O God of might, and put the hosts of hell to flight. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 188. No strength of nature can suffice to serve the Lord aright, and what she has she misapplies for want of clearer light. 188. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham, and you will find the text in the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, verse 10. This verse, as indeed all the scripture, sets before the saints an object. A subjective religion is unspeakably valuable and precious to all who are blessed with it. But first of all, though not first to the sense of a person, is an objective religion. You must have an object set before you before you can believe. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How many poor people are lost in searching for good in themselves, God only knows. It is an unspeakable mercy to be led to look on him who is the proper object of faith. The mighty God who speaks, the living God who reveals himself, the Saviour who shows himself. If you are going to heaven, you will have an object set before you. He is revealed in that wondrous promise written by Zechariah. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Then comes the subjective work. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. God will be first. God will make himself the object of your faith if you have true faith. And whenever any of us, and alas who does not do it, sets about looking for good in himself and wishing to have certain good frames and pleasing sensations in order to observe this, in order that he therewith may come to God, he is about a business in which he is doomed to fail if God is gracious to him. But you may say, do you deprecate good frames and sensations? No, I wish that I were filled with them every day of my life and every hour of every day. But it is one thing to have them from the fountain of goodness, and another and a different thing to take them as a penny to buy grace with. You must have an object, and God is that object. The mighty God has spoken, gather my saints together unto me, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It was a grand object to a bitten, poisoned, dying Israelite when the brazen serpent was lifted up, and he by faith looked thereon and found life by the look. Life, as Hart says, attended every look. That is healing. And dear friends, what is there in self to look at? What do you find in yourselves to look at? Do you believe what you were just now singing? No help in self I find. And is that the result of a search for it? Do you believe that you are full of sin? That if one should say to you, your nature is crammed with hypocrisy, you would have to say sorrowfully, I know it. Then what is there in self to look at but that which causes shame? But when the Eternal Spirit, in his kindness and love, says to a bitten, wounded, mourning sinner, look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power, then all the sweet things you wish to feel, the health, the spiritual health you would enjoy, the comfort you would have, and the peace you would feel in your conscience, all come by that Blessed One. The text sets an object before us. I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All these gracious repetitions are gracious affirmations of what God will do. You look at self. I look at self. We all, as fearing God, look at our weakness, then at our foes, at our difficulties. How can we get through? Is the question then asked. How shall we get through this? How overcome that? Says the Lord, be not dismayed. I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Holy Ghost by Paul says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, he has given strong consolation to all who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before them. And their hope, the grace of hope, as an anchor, as a good anchorage, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul cast within the veil. Let us look a little at the word of promise. I will strengthen thee. We need it. I will strengthen thee for this particular purpose, to worship and serve God. The sole object set before Pharaoh when Moses requested that he should let Israel go was this: let my people go that they may serve me. What that service was to be, Moses declared later. We must hold a sacrifice unto the Lord. Therefore must take all our cattle with us, for we must hold a sacrifice, a feast. We must go into the wilderness. This is a little different. No, I won't say little. This is vastly different from the world's religion. You must go into the crowd and serve God. You must let your views be heard. You must make a great noise. Says God, my people shall serve me when the eyes of the world are not on them. They shall go into the wilderness to serve me. And you, if you are strengthened to serve God, will find your way into your rooms to worship him. You will find your way to some lane, behind a hedge perhaps, and there in secret glorify God. In secret worship him and give him the satisfaction he intends to have in you. I will strengthen thee for this. Now in worship there are several particular things to notice. First of all, faith. If you have no faith, you will never worship God. Faith gives him in the heart and conscience a being, as says the Apostle. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If God is not made real to you by faith, you will never worship him. Think of it. Is God real to you? He is I am that I am. He is Jehovah. But he has most mercifully veiled his glory to bearableness, mildness and sweetness in Jesus Christ. Is God in Christ real to you? Do you believe that he won't be put off and satisfied with half the heart, but all of it. Egypt must not retain and detain you. God will have you out of it. Make himself everything that you may in spirit and in truth worship him. Neither in this mountain, nor in that, nor at Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Your heart will kneel. Your soul will bend itself before him. You will prostrate in your affections before him in worship. Faith in Christ. Faith that says, poor sinner, though your sin be so great to you as at times to make you wonder if it can be put away, remember this, it is the sin of a creature. And remember this, that the atonement is the atonement of him who, though a man, is also God, and therefore infinite. And so sin, all manner of sin and blasphemy against the Son of God, shall be forgiven. And I am disposed to say this, that the sinner who, with the keenest sense of sinfulness, and with the deepest shame upon his spirit because of his sins, goes in the power of the Holy Ghost to the cross, and there perceives and believes that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse him from all his sins, that sinner, in that act of faith, gives God glory, glorifies the atonement, the goodness, the mercy, and love of God. He may not know at the time that he has an interest in that atonement, but believing it, and believing it to be more than his sins, believing it to be sufficient to cleanse him from all his transgressions and pollution, he does glorify the atonement and gives pleasure to God, and that is worship. That is the worship of faith that pleases God, that the worship in which is a full surrender made by the sinner through faith of himself, that is the worship that makes a sinner a receiver and God the giver, makes the sinner the subject of the act of forgiveness that shall come sooner or later to him, and God the Blessed One who does that act upon him. Worship is, if I may so speak, in every faculty of the newborn soul. The understanding, the reasoning, corrupt reasoning, the understanding that says, why, wherefore, but, if, how, this is brought into subjection to God. Every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. He reigns. Why and how he made an atonement, how he could, the Holy and the Just One, be made sin, how God could punish his dearly beloved Son, how the Son of God could make himself just that vicarious person, a perfect substitute, how the love of God and the justice of God could be harmonized in that person's work and death, you may not be able to comprehend. But faith says it was so. It is so. All I want, says the sinner, is that what Christ did on the cross may be in my heart, that thereby I may be reconciled unto God, reconciled unto God in the body of the flesh of Jesus through death. The understanding is brought to bend, willingly to bend, and give up everything that is dear to it in its corruption, and the will is brought to this, yes, the will is subdued. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I suppose that there is scarcely a more beautiful instance of subjection of a person to Christ in this particular than you have in Mary, who left all her serving, all the anxious care to Martha, and for the time just sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And that was according to the ancient promise the ancient word. It says, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. It is great to find yourself willing to be saved by grace. Some people think that that is not much, but the Lord's people know that it is a vast thing. Willing to give up everything, willing to abandon yourself, willing to give up that idol, that loved object. Oh no, nature says. Yes, says a believing soul. I do feel that I can yield all up. The will is submissive and the affections are engaged here. If ever we get a sight of the Lord Jesus, as the church got when she said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons, it is sure to follow. As you read, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Or as the marginal reading is, I delighted and sat down under his shadow. She looked on him with faith. She saw his beauty, his glory, his greatness, his sufficiency. And she said, I delighted in him as I looked on him. And the effect was, I sat down. I wanted rest. I sat. No other object. I loved what I saw. I loved him I saw and sat down in divine contentment, submission to his gracious will. I loved him. This is worship. A sinner hating his life to find it, to love it. Losing it to find it. Giving himself up entirely under the mighty operation of the eternal spirit. And God strengthens for this. I will strengthen thee. Now what is the strength that is needful for this worship which I have so feebly and briefly described? It is the strength that the atonement affords. It is the strength of the grace of Christ, as Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is the strength of the love of God. It is the mighty moving of the eternal Spirit. It is the strength that the Trinity in the covenant of grace imparts. Each person in the Trinity is concerned in the salvation of a sinner. This is the strength. I will strengthen thee. Every sight of Christ gives strength to the one who looks on him. Every sight of his precious righteousness gives strength. And the soul comes sooner or later to say, surely, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Then we find that by strength no man prevails. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? O believer, you do not know. I do not think we ever shall know fully, at least here, the delight that faith gives to God as it moves in the soul, the pleasure it is to him when a sinner comes and looks to the atonement and feels the power, efficacy, sweetness of Christ's precious blood. This is worship. This is serving God. It does not comport with our natural notions of service, but it is a true service that God is pleased to accept in his Son. We, receiving a kingdom, the kingdom of God's grace, therefore, says the Apostle, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There is another thing I would name to you. This, that when you really serve God, you do adore him. He has the undivided adoration of your soul. You look at the man Christ Jesus, and there you perceive the beams of eternal deity coming forth, bearable there, and reaching your soul in their tenderness and their love, and their sweetness and their greatness, and you adore that person. Jesus is Almighty God. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. The faith of the sinner climbs up. The adoration of the soul reaches deity through the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Jesus, and nothing is sweeter than to be enabled to fall down in adoration. Also, admiration will always accompany you when you worship God. To see mercy and truth meeting together, righteousness and peace kissing each other, to see all the perfections of deity in Christ, meeting all the claims of the law, all the demands of justice, all the sanctions of holiness, divine meeting in Christ. Having full satisfaction in Christ, this will bring to you admiration. There may be much in nature for you to admire, many things about you you may admire, the providence of God in all its wisdom and its far-reaching effects you may admire. You may believe that what now is beyond your comprehension, your apprehension, how that good can come out of what seems an unmitigated evil. But when you are worshipping him, this has gone, and you admire wisdom and omnipotence. I will strengthen thee for this. This is, as far as I understand it, a great part of vital religion, of God-pleasing religion. Fruitfulness from Christ, fruitfulness in your heart of love, of faith, and God must strengthen, or it will never be carried on. And in the next place, let us look at his kind promise further. Yea, I will help thee. And here we may take up another line briefly. I will help thee to bear the cross. I will help thee to live in the narrow way and walk. I will help thee to overcome difficulties, to resist sin. I will help thee cheerfully to take up that cross I give thee and carry it. And we need this help. Take our inveterate enemy first of all, indwelling sin. He who understands even a little of what indwelling sin is, understands what a life of trouble is sin that dwells in us. The old man which is so corrupt according to the deceitful lusts that opposes every motion of faith, that laughs at all things divine, that scorns humility before God. Sin that says in the heart, there is no God. This awful sin we all have, it brings us into captivity. It brings us painfully to understand Paul's conflict. When I would do good, evil is present with me. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am. This sin, I will help thee, says the Lord. Thou art disposed to idolatry. I will help thee then to worship me, to resist idolatry. Thou art disposed to self-dependence. I will help thee to resist it. Thou art disposed to rebellion. I will help thee to submit. Thou art disposed to go thine own way. I will help thee to walk the narrow way. We need God. We greatly need God. Try to take a step by yourself, and who has not done that many times? And failure comes, and shame follows. But when in this business you go before God, and confess to him your absolute inability to resist sin, then you find promise of help acceptable to you. I will help you to resist sin. The apostle got the help very sweetly, and this was the form it took in his soul, namely a triumph of faith. I thank God, having asked the question who should deliver him from the body of sin and death that was so bitter, so burdensome, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He had a prospect. He could endure the reproach of Christ, struggle against sin and bear all the ridicule and censures that sin in his heart would pour on the Lord Jesus, all the blasphemies of his wicked nature. I will strengthen thee to resist sin. He who lives in sin, who finds pleasure in sin, knows nothing about God. He who lives in himself knows nothing about God. But he who, finding God about him and teaching and helping and guiding him, finds also a resistance to every step toward heaven, then he needs help to resist that resistance, to resist the devil of indwelling sin. I will help thee in this. I will help thee to take up the cross and follow me. The cross is not the same to every child of God. God knows what will be a cross to you. It is something that will gall you, chafe you, make you feel weak, stir up rebellion sometimes. It is something that perhaps few or none at all can see. It is in your conscience, your spirit. God has laid something on you. It may be a public cross that everybody can see, and that is exceedingly bitter, as some of us know. But the cross is this which mortifies the flesh, that which tells us we have no rest here, which says this is not to be your life, this is not to be the way you are to walk. You are to walk with me in affliction. The cross is a bitter thing to flesh and blood, and, say you, I won't bear it. The elder son, he was the righteous one. The younger son was the one who was brought at last to a right place. Now you may say to God, I won't do this. I have said it to him. But he can give you grace to ask him to permit you to do it. There may steal into your heart that perhaps he won't let you do it after all your rebellion. Then you will run to him and say, do give me grace to do it. I will help thee to take up the cross willingly, to follow after the Lord. Dear friends, this makes the way to heaven easy, while to flesh and blood it is exceedingly difficult and painful. This brings sinners to glory in their infirmities, as did the Apostle Paul. Sufficient grace is given. Sufficient grace comes into the soul, enabling it to say, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmity. What for? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will help thee to run the race that is set before thee. We have a race to run. All run in a race. One only has the crown. There is set before the saints an end of their faith, even the salvation of their souls. This is set before them, a deliverance from sin, an absolute justification, a perfect sanctification, a deliverance from the body of sin and death, a blessed heaven. This is set before us. God sets it before every child of his. This is the mark of the prize of our high calling. This is that the apostle had before him when he said that he laboured, that he was enabled to strive, if by any means he might attain to the resurrection of the dead. This is that is before the Lord's people, a good finish, a victory to be given, a crown to be won, yet freely given out of love and mercy. The end is approaching us. To some of us it may be an awful thought. It is, according to Job, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Some of you, alas for you, if you come to the end as you are now, will prove that word to be true. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but does not want to go. He knows nothing better than this world, sees nothing better than this dark world. With the saint it is different, blessedly different. There is something before him better than this life. The Holy Spirit sets it before him, a glorious state, an absence of sin from his being, the presence of his soul with God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is the end. I will help thee to pursue, though thou art faint. I will help thee, though thou art ready to give up sometimes. I will help thee to make a fresh start, though thou faintest. I will strengthen thee with that precious bread that strengthens man's heart. And I will help thee with that wine that cheers the heart of God and man. I will give thee fresh views of my mercy, of my love, of my goodness, and thou shalt thereby receive such energy as to get on the way, feeling this is the way the prophets went. This is the path of tribulation, and the end of it is heaven. One of our old friends, who's been dead many years now, often said to me when he was over 80 years old, "This hill I covet to ascend, its difficulties do not me offend." And then he would pause and say to me, "Why?" And answer his own question, "Because my home is at the top." And then he would speak of his hopes of heaven. This is the case with the Lord's people. There is a hill to climb. The house of the Lord is built on the top of the mountains above the world. There are difficulties. There are hills. Oh, but sometimes God's people through faith can say the difficulties do not offend them. The way seems long and they are often wearied in it, though not weary of it. The end is before them. They receive it by faith. I will never leave thee. I, the Lord, will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You won't manage this by yourselves. You must have divine help for this. I will help thee. I will help thee to run with patience the race that is set before thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These things may seem to be the same, but there is no repetition in the text. I will uphold thee in thy good estate. Thou shalt never fail. He will keep the feet of his saints, and none of their steps shall slide. God's people are put into a good state. He changes their condition, their state. Children of wrath are made children of the Most High God. Servants of sin and of Satan are made servants of the living God. Men who run away from God and turn their backs on him now have their faces turned to him, and they want to know him and the power of his resurrection. He puts them into a good state in Christ, and it is not a little noticeable that in the epistles The Holy Ghost says again and again to the church, which is in God, which is in Christ, and Christ himself says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. There is union, and this union expresses a state, not only an experience, that comes too, but it first of all expresses a state. A living vine sustains every branch in it. The state of the branch is just that, that it has union with the vine, hence its fruitfulness. Now I will uphold thee in this. Has God put us into this new blessed state? A new creation it is called. Enemies say, we will go and take these cities, though the Lord is there. Says the Lord, I will uphold thee, and thou shalt not be moved. The righteous shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall wax stronger and stronger. This promise then takes in the great truth of final perseverance. Who is he that shall harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who shall turn you out of the way if I uphold you? Who, as the apostle says, shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. So this upholding as received by faith, as spoken home again and again, will bring you to say, each for yourself, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or persecution, or famine, or the sword, or nakedness? No. Why? What shall overcome all those enemies? I am persuaded, says the apostle, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor tribulation, nor anguish, nor sword, nor peril, nor devil, nor enemy of any sort or kind shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Take this to be the righteous dealing of God with a sinner in the covenant of grace. And there you have a necessity, if I may so speak. For how can God put away that one whom he has loved, for whom he gave his Son to die, and who has been quickened into eternal life by the Holy Spirit? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What will the effect of all this mercy be as we receive it into our hearts? It will be quickening and sanctifying and humbling. It will produce sweet confidence with awe and fear of sinning and displeasing God. It will, in a word, lead to righteousness. As Christ prays, so it will be. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It may be today as of old that we are slanderously reported that we say, let us do evil that good may come. We say this, and God is our witness, that if we could live as we would, we should live without sin. We should live to the praise and glory of God. We should be good neighbours. We should be the best masters and the best servants. We should excel in those things which God, in the precepts of his holy word, has given us to obey. So may the Lord bring all this goodness, this promised mercy and help and strength to us, that we may be for his praise and glory. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be anniversary services tomorrow when Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and evening at 6:15. Tea will be provided and the collection taken for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. God willing, there'll be reading services next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
Thank you.